You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift. Wow, stickers! A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
And if you're a true hardcore horror nerd, you do love Italian horror. I mean, giallo horror, it's a genre unto itself, really a classic. So, you know, when you see a movie from Italy called A Classic Horror Story, you know, you got some hope there, right? Even if the trailer confused the fuck out of me, like, what aren't we doing? Like, they picked like a dozen movies.
Everything.
But, you know, I decided, hey, let me sign up on this one. You know, I love recording with Tessa and Robert, and
what's up?
You know, they happen to be here with me now, so I don't feel too bad that I spent my time watching this, because they did too.
We're trauma bonded now.
We're all sitting at the same table now.
This movie, A Classic Horror Story, is directed by a duo, Roberto De Feo, who, if I'm not mistaken, looking at his IMDb, clearly should be much more well known for his movie Ice Scream. No, don't look it up. It's not worth it. As his evidently occasional directing partner, Paolo Sciboli, which I took Italian and I don't care to try to pronounce their names because, yeah, this movie. Anyway, the movie follows primarily Elisa, who is a young woman who happens to be pregnant and her mother's really pushing her to get an abortion. So she decides, yeah, I'll join this random caravan of people and we'll do it. There's a guy who's evidently a travel videographer guy. There's a couple that, you know, one doesn't speak the language at all. The guy doesn't, the woman does. And there's a guy who seems just like an older man with a child, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there's much characterization beyond that. Like, they're all basically archetypes of things. But they're driving, and at one point, there's a goat on the road. And they try to swerve to get out of the way, crash to a tree, and for some reason, wake up in a field. And then there's a bunch of kind of occult shit going on, and death, and is kind of intermixed with blacking out, and it's kind of as far as I think I can explain this movie without getting into spoilers. And if you're confused, trust me, that's kind of also a factor of this movie as well, because it's pretty confused about itself.
Yeah, so straight out from the trailer, we get the juxtaposition of the title, A Classic Horror Story, and the trailer pushing you with the on-screen text of, you know, you think you've seen this before, but you haven't seen this. So they really are using a device to tell the story in that you think you're watching one kind of thing and you're really watching something else, which as a horror viewer for me, I guess it worked all right for the characters. I mean, I don't know. It didn't really change their disposition. I don't think, but this was a somewhat outside the box look at people break down. They're in the middle of nowhere. The forces are all against them. Is this evil? Why is this happening? What clues can we find? And, there's some neat stuff. Like there was a couple cool things that I did like. There's a lot of violence in the movie, on screen and slightly off screen too. What'd you guys think about waking up in the middle of nowhere and how they handled the main bit of plot?
Oh boy. I'll just jump in, not necessarily answer that question, but I thought it was funny that the title of the film was a classic horror film, but all the things that they're really borrowing from are more recent. Because I feel like that lodge house was, you know, lifted from Midsommar, and they had like a long, like, table of people eating and crying and screaming and, you know, kind of mocking the person who's in trouble. And I don't know, I thought a lot of things they lifted were from more contemporary and not classic horror films.
I for sure got the flavor of a lot of, I don't know if indie is the word, but a lot of successful mid-tier horror games too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Little Hope might be the one that I'm thinking of, which isn't exactly this, but people crashing in a bus and then something different happens is definitely a trope by now.
There's my biggest issue with that is there's a scene where they're like, one character's really trying to address that, waking up in the field and getting lost and all that. And I will say the fact there's like some twist in the movie that we won't spoil because somebody may still want to see it after a review. But
sure,
when you get to that twist and you think back to that scene, it's just even more goddamn annoying to think about that, of them calling out the trope that the movie's using. And it's just, there's a lot of that in this movie where it's so on the nose about things while also trying to like obfuscate, to where it just makes, I felt like a lot of just the viewing experience as confused as you imagine the characters are. And it's not like, oh, I'm feeling like the character is, it's more of like, I'm not sure I care to see what happens to this person next, because I've just not been interested to keep up with you.
Yeah, it's definitely like towing the line for being a meta, or I don't know if they're going to be like satire or meta or what have you, but
like a send up of a bunch of different
or
stuff.
Or an homage. But I feel like whatever they were aiming for, they kind of missed the mark a little bit. There's some really like great shots in this. There's some not so great shots. The gore and the costuming is really cool. There's some really rad masks I enjoyed very much that were pretty gnarly and gross and a cool design. I mean, there were some finer points to this, but I watched the dub version. I'm wondering, did either of you watch the subtitle version, and if that changed anything at all?
I watched subtitle. I don't know if it really affected it in any way, because I think more of my issue was the dialogue than any of the performances. You know, the way they're written to and what they're saying is just, it's either tropey or it's wink and the nod, which mm-hmm. neither one really worked for me.
Yeah, I think the dub probably needs to be handled a little better, because at the beginning when she's talking to her mom, like we said, the main character is pregnant and looking at having an abortion. The word they use in the dub is surgery over and over and over. So by the third time they used it, I was like, oh, well, okay, you know, that's what they mean. But they don't leave that part of the story out. Throughout the movie, it sticks around until the very last images of the film. So that's one of the things that kind of got me, is there's almost a, I don't know if it's a tender moment or what you want to call it, real later in the film, that just seems like it came out of a different edit of this. Because where we end up at the very end, which I'm jumping to the end already,
mm-hmm.
I think if we had lost that, and if the trailer hadn't hyped up how we're subverting the way horror movies works,
mm-hmm.
this probably would have been a little bit more enjoyable. But when you say, wait till you get a load of this, I mean, nah, it was all right.
It might seem kind of weird and all over the place. It's got like five writers, the writing credits. We have five people attached to it. So
that's a lot.
Yeah.
I think my biggest issue is with, also looking back at it, like, they use some real lore, actually. The mm-hmm. three, like, deities that these people are, you know, supposedly sacrificing to are real in Italian lore. They're actually, I think, based actually on real people who are the foundations of, like, mafia lore in Italy. And the way they kind of go from there with the story, there could have been more to it, but then it still doesn't quite get explained very well. It's like, oh, you had the setup for this thing that explains this next twist that you gave us, you know, when you finally get there. And then that twist has no connection to it as far as we can tell, or
it just
maybe
gets dropped.
It's,
yeah, I really wish, like I said, about them tagging in the trailer that, you know, we're going to do something wild. I really feel like at the end when they tell you, oh, no, this is what's going on, I wish they would have doubled down or tripled down or something, but instead it was kind of like, no, it's this. And then the movie just kind of continued.
Yeah, there could have been a better double twist with how they set it up and how the, you know, the narrative was going, but we don't get that. And it's just, I don't know. I've clearly been very negative about this whole review. And because I saw this after I was watching, Gunpowder Milkshake, which is my other review I had tonight. That's just a lot of fun and it's nonstop. And yeah, that's more style over substance, which I can say this movie kind of is too. It's just, I don't think the style or the substance matters in this movie because it's more of just let's riff on every other movie or every other popular thing that even if it's indie or whatever that we can. And just, it never seems to connect. And even at the very end, like the last scene tries to be, I'll say there's a direct Shyamalan kind of trying to reference at the end there, which is not even the Shyamalan reference I think you want to make.
Yeah, it was kind of meh. It was cool. There was some really pretty looking stuff, like the house that's next to the bus when they're stranded in the middle of nowhere gave me vibes from the Osgood Perkins movie, Gretel and Hansel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like a really staged, purposeful, we designed this thing to stick out of the landscape kind of thing, but be creepy and weird and old at the same time. And some of that stuff was neat, but again, like we're talking about, maybe it's too many cooks in the kitchen, maybe it's two directors, but they wake up in this bus in the middle of nowhere, step directly out of the bus and try and walk around and be like, oh, wait, what's here? And somebody says, hey, look at this house. And they all look in the direction that they would have got up the bus in so that they didn't, you know, maybe we could have flipped the bus around so that there was an actual reveal of what was they should have seen out the windows would have been a little better. But there was some cool, creepy stuff. The little girl in here goes a long way for me when we first meet her. She's in a very precarious situation and she's not speaking for reasons of the story we'll get into when you see it. But there was some enjoyable stuff in it. It really lost me for something I thought that was really going to mess with story. Like this is something that is different, but I don't think it supports all the stuff that we saw at the beginning.
Well, I feel like we're kind of meandering in circles. Anyone else have anything else to say before final thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like what ended up happening kind of got telegraphed pretty early on. I don't know if it's just from reviewing a lot of movies or we just get too genre savvy for our own fucking good, but I felt like the twist was telegraphed kind of in a way at the beginning. I was just like, oh, okay, I see where this might be going. And it did go that way eventually. It took a couple of turns, but it got where I thought it was going to go. So I don't know if I should hold that against it or if I just, you know.
I don't hold it against it. And I will say that's maybe one of, like, when the twist happens, I think is a pretty good scene, like when you catch it. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the few scenes that actually stuck out to me from my watching. It's again, like kind of just too muddled and buried in there with a dozen other things that I don't know if I can keep giving it credit for things like that. But yeah, I think we're kind of probably going to keep circling past that then. So Bob, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
I like the characters. You know, the setup was pretty neat. I hadn't seen a bunch of people in a bus in a while in a film that I had seen. Like Tessa said, we watch lots of horror movies and it's not to be like, oh, this one's like the other. But, you know, some of the stuff's like comfort food. So I really did dig a lot of the first third of it. Then it gets into the middle. The telegraphing for me, I don't think I picked up on it as much as I was just confused by some of the motivations of the characters, which, you know, kind of plays out as you watch the movie. But I just, for a movie that's going to do a twist, I think they either did it too early or they didn't slam the point home enough that this is something else that's going on and making that even more nefarious. It was just kind of, you know, the peril was the same for the characters, regardless of what was behind it. So I think that was kind of a missed opportunity. And then the ending just kind of went from this, wow, this is a cool way for it to go out, to the ending reminded me of a Weezer song, just kind of kept on going and going and going. And, you know, it looked pretty, but I'm going to give this like a 4.5 out of 5 reasons to just never travel in a random group in, you know, the countryside. If you don't know who those people are, yeah. Just go on your own.
What you don't do the rural Uber. Just don't do it, Robert. Rural juror. Yeah, I feel like I've been trying to think of other horror movies that have like buses. What was the Japanese one where like the wind was like decapitating people?
Oh, snap.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's like this It's like a Japanese version of The Happening, but it's like something on the wind that's invisible.
There's one just at Fantastic Fest that has a bus. It's not like the main characters on the bus, but there's a good bus scene. I forget that one's called like The Possessor or something like that. It was like a Thai one. And I was going to say Jeepers Creepers 2.
Yeah, the kids on the bus and Jeepers Creepers. I think there's like a scene in the faculty, but it was parked. And then what's the other one? Oh, I was thinking of Battle Royale.
But that was
you just getting to know the characters on the way to the place. And they're like on their field trip. Anyways, enough about buses. Though I got to say my favorite bus driver is from Pete and Pete. the lovelorn bus driver. What was his name? Like Benedict?
Is Artie?
No, it wasn't Artie. Artie's the strongest man. Anyways, we're getting on a tangent. So we're talking about a classic horror story that I don't think, unfortunately, is going to become a classic. But hey, I could be wrong. It might end up in some masterclass of cinema in 20 years. Who knows? But for me, I felt like it didn't quite stick the landing either. It was all right. I just feel like maybe that I should maybe give the subtitle version a watch. I feel like the dubs kind of took me out of it a little bit. Like the voice actors on the dubs were okay. Some of them were good. Some of them were so-so. But sometimes the dubs on live action stuff kind of messes with me. I can take it more in animated stuff for some reason. So I guess I'll probably give this like 5.5 out of 10 saucy dances, saucy TikTok dances.
I think I'm probably the one coming down hardest on this. It just really, really did nothing for me when, sure, I'll admit maybe I was already in a little bit of a mood. But it's like, you know, I like a good horror movie that will get my blood racing where I'm excited, even if it's like dark and scary. And this never really did that for me either. I think it is, as we've discussed, some really good production design. But it just continues to have faults on logic that I can't like allow the movie because other things did not build up to it to connect with it. Like they do the getting lost in the woods thing where it's like, oh, yeah, we keep going in circles. And there's no way that the story explains this that makes any sense otherwise here.
What, that they stayed lost or that how the van got there?
No, how they kept getting lost and coming back. Because,
well, I have a reason for that, which we can say when we get off of here, but there is a reason for that.
I mean, I don't think there's a great one if I remember from the scene, but as I said, I didn't find this very memorable either. Netflix isn't known for being excellent at horror. I think Fear Street that just came out is surprisingly like their highest point of three movies in a row being surprisingly good horror movies. Otherwise, they're really hit and miss at best. This is one of their misses, in my opinion. It's just, I was kind of just bored senseless from it. And so anyway, I really didn't care for it. I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 10. Really interesting masks, at least.
If anybody out there wants a movie that this trailer is kind of promising, we reviewed not too long ago, also international on Netflix, the Polish film Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight, which is a take on the slasher at the summer camp. And I promise you, you do not know where that film is going.
Ooh, out of my list. Thank you, Robert.
There's a church in the woods. There's things in the sky.
Spooky.
I believe there's an after credit stinger too. So nobody sleeps in the woods tonight.
Did any of you stay to make sure there was no after credit stinger for a classic horror story?
Well, I did scan. I scanned forward after.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Nothing? I didn't see one.
Okay.
The mid credit stinger is Ben Neves's.